Well, today we're going to flip totally and go in a whole nother area, a whole nother subject, and we're going to talk about, we won't get through it today, and we'll continue it next week. Seven enemies of your soul. Let me pull this up here. And, well, why did you pick the soul? So you're made up of three parts. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Sanctify means make you perfect. Sanctify also indicates that it's a process. Turn to the person on the left and say, "You need to hurry up and catch up to how holy I am." "May your whole spirit, soul, and body." We are made up of three parts, as you see up there. "Be kept blameless." Now, this is out of the NIV, but in the Greek, it means faultless. Be kept faultless. No faults. Perfect. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and makes it new. But how many of you know that your soul, which is your personality, I believe it's made up of at least five parts. Three of them are listed up there. Mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, your will is I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. We know what our emotions is. I believe there's also a fourth and a fifth component, which is the past and the future inside of you. Your past is memories. I'm telling you, how many of you know you are affected by your memories? Good fathers, better memories. Bad fathers, worse memories. And you could apply that to all kinds of things. Things you've done that you've regretted. Things, whatever. Things that you are successful at that give you a platform for going forward. And then there's a future component. I call it either imaginations or faith. These are the things that you, it can really sort of be the same, but these are the things you hope to accomplish in the future. And with God, that's what faith is. Faith is believing that the future is going to be good. That can have a good component. God gives you dreams, visions, and you believe for that, you walk in that. It could be a bad component, fantasy. For years, I didn't watch fantasy movies. There was a lot of reasons. But one reason is that would replace what God wanted to put inside of me to accomplish. Not everything of the future is your future. Some of it could be what man puts in. But as you get and walk with God, He'll put a future in you. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, that we hear it all quoted 2 months ago at graduations. "These are the plans I have for you, for a hope and a future." But if you go on and read the two verses after that, they usually don't. They say, "When you walk closely with me." But your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, memories, and the future. Some people add stuff to it. Some people move it around. This is a good characterization as a baseline personality. I think sort of includes all of that. And then your body, the external physical layer. I'm 6'1", no hair. That's my body. Now, when you get saved, your spirit comes alive, but your personality, as Romans says, has to be renewed. It doesn't just change overnight. How many of you have had a good close relative or a friend that got saved, but they were still a jerk after they got saved? And you wish, "I wish that had gotten saved. Wonder if I can do deliverance on the jerk part of him." No, those are habits that have to be changed. My doctor's told me I need to lose 30 pounds, which I'm not arguing with. I wish I could just get in one of Sean Blockley's worship services, get called up to God in His presence, have a third heaven, walk into the throne room, and come back 30 pounds lighter. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? That'd be my diet technique. But you know, when I'm eating my chili cheese fries with a Diet Coke, it doesn't do a lot of good. "God, take this 30 pounds off of me." And so we have to work at our bodies, applying Christian principles, making it a temple. I keep telling myself my temple likes chili cheese fries. But you have to work at it. And today we're not going to do a workshop on making our bodies a temple unto the Lord, although that's a scriptural principle. I read this last week, the title of a blog article that said, could we be sinning by not taking care of our bodies? I immediately deleted that article and moved on. I've got enough conviction in my life without reading that thing. But you know, it's the same way with our souls, which is our mind, will, and emotions. We have to renew it. It's a partnership between God and us. Now, sometimes if you're real religious and you're not following the Holy Spirit, I grew up in a denomination. It's a good denomination. But many times I gutted out the principles. I'm not going to lust. I won't smoke. I won't eat chili cheese fries. And I was good for a week or so. You follow what I'm saying? But how many times we know down deep inside how far we can go on our own, how much willpower we have. And that's where I've got to go to the Holy Spirit when I'm passing Wendy's, which I do every day on the way home. You know I'm kidding, but it's a good illustration. But I do pass Wendy's all the way home, and I have gotten chili cheese fries on the way home. But I'll go, Father, it's nothing about chili cheese fries. It's a lack of the spirit of self-control, the fruit inside of me. I say, Father, I need to lose 30 pounds. Please, blind me. Make this place go away. Turn it into a vegetarian place. But it never happens. And so as I drive by, I say, Father, give me the fruit of self-control. It's not about the chili cheese fries. It's about the chili cheese fries ruling my life. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so that's the battle. And so I wrote down seven. We won't get through them all today, maybe two or three. We'll just see how much I ramble and give illustrations. But we're going to talk about seven enemies of our soul that keep our soul from being renewed and walking like Jesus walked in His presence. Y'all ready? The first one here is, I love this one. Never resting. How many of you feel like this a lot of times? She's even got the coffee mug in her hand. And she's still out of it. And so this is a uniquely Craig one. I don't know if you'll find this on any other great theologian websites. I'm being sarcastic there. But, you know, we don't get legalistic about things because legalism always results in lawlessness. You look at some of the strictest denominations around. How you dress, who you act like, you will find some of the grossest sins in it. Legalism is man's effort to change himself without the Holy Spirit. And it always produces, it bubbles up and it churns down there till it explodes and goes over. It's like me with the chili cheese fries. You know, I've passed this place six times. I've been 6 days in a row and I've passed Wendy's without getting chili cheese fries. The seventh day, I deserve this. I go in, I get four orders of chili cheese fries. Trivial example, but you get the point there. So, we don't get legalistic, but when God rested on the seventh day, there was a principle there. That there, listen to this, now this goes against every type A choleric, American productivity, entrepreneur, keep working till you die. Listen, I've been in the software industry for 20 years. 8 years I worked at the premier software company that did startups in Chattanooga. This is their principle. The harder you work, the more you work, stay there all day, the more valuable you are. What do you mean you're resting? You're not valuable. How many of you have heard that? Okay, so I'm the only one. Either it's just me or y'all are all liars here. Or some of you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And if you've unlucky, well, there's pros and cons to every personality. The con of my personality, which is a type A, la la la, I had to deal with workaholic performance, get delivered of it, you know, over the years, is if I sit, I start feeling guilty. Now, some of you never feel guilty sitting, so maybe you should. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. Not all seven of these is going to apply to everybody. If you do, we need to have counseling appointments, okay? Because it's so far gone. We'll just have to work through it. But you know, there is value in resting. Why? How many of you are going to tell God He shouldn't rest on the seventh day? There's a principle in Him that He's trying to come out to say, listen, we work hard, but life is also to be enjoyed. I've been to many countries of the world. I've been overseas quite a bit. Americans, if you're in this culture, you never come out of this culture, you can't see the pros and the cons of this culture. One con of this culture is we are the most scheduled, and I'm right there, overscheduled, crazy busyness of any culture I've ever seen. There's some Asian cultures that are up there, but they're the highly developed ones like Hong Kong or Japan. It is nuts. And this is what I'm telling you. It's killing us. It's robbing us of two things. Being productive about the important things. Listen to me carefully. When you're too busy, you're not productive about the important things. You're busy. The Tyranny of the Urgent is a book I read 30 years ago. I wish I still had it. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're doing what you're supposed to do. It doesn't mean that you're doing stuff that's valuable of the future. Plus, it robs you of relationship. It robs you of relationship with your family. It robs you of relationship with God. Because you that phrase, that quality time over quantity time, have y'all ever heard that? It's a lie. If you've been a parent long enough, you realize it's just a lie. Me and him could have 5 minutes of quality time once a month. It's just not going to go anywhere. The relationship's not going to go anywhere. You have to have quantity and quality. Because, see, you can't script quality. I get with Tiffany, hey, won't y'all come on over and hang out? From 9 o'clock to 9:30, we're going to have quality time. And it better fit in there because at 9:30, I got to go do this. And I'm not going to pull into the garage till 8:55. How many of you know that doesn't work? Quality comes out of hanging around with nothing else to do. So I'm going to hit on this. We may never even get past this. But what we've tried to do in our house more, we did it last night. Typically at night, we would just all come in, sit in our little living room. A lot of you have been in there. And we'll turn the TV on. Well, last night we did watch some TV, but then I told Israel, go get your guitar and just play. And we just sat there. Well, what are we going to do? We're just going to sit here and listen to him play the guitar. And then we got into talks and different things. This is the deal. Psychology, secular psychologies have shown us that creativity. How many of you want to be creative? We've talked a lot about that this year. God wants to give you creative ideas. They say there are basically two types of brain waves, alpha and beta. And I believe it was the beta. Don't hold me to it. Only when you're in beta brain waves are you creative. Are you a producer? When you're in alpha, you're responding, you're reactive, and you're not creating. See, there's a difference between being a consumer and reacting to the events as opposed to being a producer and creating things. And only in beta brain waves can you create. You got me? Only when you're in beta brain waves can you hear from the Lord for new ideas. Now, here's the key. This is where the 1/7th or the Sunday Sabbath rest comes. I don't rest on Sunday. That's not a literal thing. Seventh-day Adventists have it on church on Saturday, but some of their leaders are breaking that. I know they're getting mad at me today. But the ones that are working and preaching, guess what? They're not resting. I'm not resting today. I go to bed. What am I going to be speaking on tomorrow? Revising it this morning, thinking through it. So Sunday is not a restful day for me. I've got to do it another time. And I don't even think it has to be a whole day. But it needs, for me, I sort of break it up during the week. But this is the key. Only in beta brainwaves do you get creative ideas. How many of you want to be creative? How many of you want to be refreshed? When you stay in alpha brainwaves, you're never refreshed. How many of you have gone to bed tired and wake up tired? The reason is you've got to be in beta brainwaves. And I'm leading you up. Here comes the sucker line. Here comes the hook. You can only get into beta brainwaves when you are, listen to me, bored. Now, They have done study after study to show that if you're sitting here flipping through Facebook, if you're flipping through Instagram, if you're playing a game, you never get into beta brainwaves. You're being a consumer and you're reacting. Now, I'm not judging you. I don't care if you do that. But I do care if you don't get the creative, positive ideas. How many of you are your best ideas come in the shower or when you're walking through the woods? Why? Because you, until the iPhone 7 Plus came along and the Samsung Galaxy S7, you couldn't take your phone into the shower. Now you can. I actually haven't done it because this thing's too expensive to test out the theory. Next thing I know, oh man, there goes my $900 device. It's just gone. You see what I'm saying? Well, Craig, what do I do? It says, be still and know that I am God. Listen to me again. The number one thing, I'm not picking on phones. Listen, I'm using my phone to teach my notes from right now, okay? Flipping through things, constantly doing things, studies have shown, secular psychologists, and it's not a Christian thing. The more people do that, the more depressed they are and the lack of better ideas that they have. There's been many studies. You can just go Google if you don't believe me. A major consumer of Facebook, it could be anything. These are just the studies on. It's 40 minutes a day. They are the most depressed people on the internet. Why? Because you look at that and Chad just went off somewhere and had a great time and he posts it. And you go, my life is boring. Chad, when he's depressed, he never gets depressed, but if he's ever gotten depressed, he would never put it on Facebook. I'm just depressed today. And you go, man, I'm feeling good. Then it goes up. That never happens. How many negative things you see among your own friends comes on? The other big thing, and this is something I've had to battle with. I want to be on my phone all the time. Why? Because they initialize it as FOMO. How many of you have ever heard that? The fear of missing out. Well, what if something happens? What if something happens? If it's that big of a deal to tell you. Now, I'm not slamming this. There's many of these things. One thing is I've had to figure out with all my kids, we let them do one thing. I was criticized for not letting my kids do something every single night. You know, softball, dance, whatever. I just said, no, we're not going to do that. If I do that, I don't have any time just to hang out with them. Driving them to a softball game and bringing them back is okay, but that's not quality time. It's driving them to a game. You will have some quality time. Me standing in the bench and watching them go on bowling or whatever team they're in, it's cool. My kids have always done one thing. Israel's in band, he's in drama, she's in dance. But you get my point. I was criticized many times, well, you're being unfair to your kid. Well, I remember 30 years ago, nobody did any of this stuff. And we sort of turned out all right. I know there's some imperfections there. When we're so busy, this is what we get robbed of, and I think this is the seventh principle. Studies have shown Americans are the most lonely people in the world, especially the women. And so what I've tried to do is not be reactive, but be and a consumer, but be a producer. I have I use my phone or computer as much, but I try to produce and not react. If any of you get a notification in here, if you're smart, you got it on silence and it vibrates. Right now, you'll start shaking. Wonder what that was. You follow what I'm saying? Wonder what that was. What if it's important? La, la, la. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm the same way. I've had phantom phone vibrations in my pocket. Did that thing vibrate? I think it vibrated. Yeah, I'm not laughing. It's probably touching a few points. Go a blooming hour without looking at your phone. I guarantee you, just do it on the hour. Answer the notifications on the hour. Now I'm talking about somebody calls you, but nobody calls anymore. Just, I guarantee you, try it for a day. Only look at your phone on an hour, unless you're using it. I'm a software developer, so I have to look at it all the time. But I have the notifications. Just do it on an hour. I'm telling you, you'll go through withdrawals. There's nothing wrong with it, but it robs you of peace. And if you're not bored, you will never come up with producer ideas. You won't write songs. Why? Because you're reading about songs. And just once you get through the withdrawals, just check it on an hour. If it's an iOS, I don't remember Android, simply just switch. Well, what these notifications are. Well, what if I miss them? You know, 10 years ago, we didn't even have these. Before that, we had texts, and then we had little beepers, and we all survived. The point is not this. You've got to find your own balance, but you may have to swing the other way. Why? Because you need to slow down and get in the shower, so to speak, during the day. It's creating this in our souls all the time. Whether it's this, whether it's watching TV, cable news. How many people you know cable news network addicts? You know what I'm saying? You're going to be depressed. You will be depressed. Nobody's that good. My point is not to beat you up on these things. My point is God wants to produce through you. And as long as you're in a reactive mode and always thinking on something like that, you will never produce. There is great songs in this place. There's great ideas in this place. Let me give you an example. 2 or 3 months ago, the Lord just brought it up. He said, you don't write blogs like you used to, and you don't write books like you used to. And I thought, you know, I haven't done anything in the last 2 years or so as much. And he says, it's because you're so busy reading other people's books and other people's blogs that you don't have time to have ideas rise up. And it's not just the ideas, it's just peace. This is what the Lord told me. I'll just throw it out. And you have to follow your own journey. He said, don't do anything until you're bored. Find yourself in regular seasons of being bored. Well, with this thing, or computers, or TV, it's hard. Y'all get the spirit of what I'm telling you? He wants to walk with us instead of us and Instagram. I like Instagram, but I've seen people be on Instagram for hours. I'm like, has anybody posted any time since? Well, they did about an hour ago. Well, what have you been doing since then? Just looking to see if there's any more postings. Let me be blunt. That's a waste of a life. And you'll have to give an account for every hour. I look at Instagram every day. But I look at it, at a certain time every day, I go through all my stuff. Now, Facebook, I hadn't looked in 2 months. If you want to get me on Facebook, because when I get through a Facebook, I'm the typical guy that the studies have shown. I'm depressed when I get through watching Facebook. I don't know why. I've tried to figure, why am I depressed? I don't know. I like Instagram, but not Facebook. Look through this stuff in your own life. The goal is to not be reactive, but proactive. You follow what I'm saying here? The goal is to spend time, like sometimes when we've gotten together as a family and just sit there, they go, what are we talking about? I don't know. Do we have to have something to talk about? Just sit here for a little while. And you always find something to talk about. And it's usually pretty cool ideas or things you hadn't done. Now, as little kids, we always got in trouble with this. I remember when I was a little boy, me and my brothers, idle time was the devil's workshop. Do y'all remember that? Well, we don't want to be the devil's workshop, but we need more idle time. We have swung so far the other way. We need to come back to the middle and come up with some crazy ideas. So, what I would do, think about tithing your time that you're awake. 24 hours a day, sleep 8 hours, you got 16 hours, roughly 1.6. Put into your schedule, I can't do this at this point, but I'm trying. 1.5 hours where you say, I'm not going to do anything. Walk through the woods, spend time with my spouse, spend time with my family, tithe a portion of your unwaking time to nothing. Now, some of you that are the clerics, I can feel already the anxiety rising. What am I going to do? How am I going to fill that time? That's the problem. Wherever Jesus walks, he was a man of peace. I'm a man of peace as long as I've got something to do. Am I beating you up too much? I guarantee you, just start trying to do it. Just check your phone. These are just some suggestions. Check your phone on the hour. Put in an hour and a half of unscheduled time. And just see what happens. The first several days, it's going to be like withdrawing from meth. Isn't it, Sean? Me and Sean's alike. Would that be a challenge to you? But I don't want to be controlled by these things. But the greater goal is I want to be a man of peace. Somebody said recently, or it wasn't recently, but we were talking. I said, every strategic idea I have gotten that's changed radically the direction of Relationship Church has always been on a plane going somewhere. I just did. And then one day the Lord said, you know why? Because you're on a plane and you can't go nowhere. Sort of like being in the shower for a long time. And you don't get prune-looking skin. And I was like, wow. There's a lesson there. And He wants to do the same thing with you. Each of you. Be still and know that I am God. I'll tell you what, we will not get into the second one. So we are just going to close with that. This might be a 7-week sermon series at this point. Y'all stand. God is good. And I'm telling you about this. This don't focus on the negative. I did do a lot of examples. He is inviting you into an awesome journey. This week I did some ministry with some people. And it was just a bizarre ministry time. I'm not even going into it. It was just very bizarre. And afterwards I said to this other person I said that I was ministering with, who can ever say that being a Christian is boring? It's only boring if you're legalistic. But if you invite the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you, I'm always going, would you slow down? This is cool, but will you slow down? It is the greatest adventure on the planet. But I have to make time for those things. I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you. This is my opinion. One day, you have to picture this. The younger you are, it's hard, and you may think I'm morbid. One day, every one of you is going to be laying on a bed or in a chair, and you're fixing to die and go to heaven. Every one of you. Nobody escapes it, unless the rapture comes. But you can't plan on that as a primary escape method. You're going to be there, every one of you. Well, I don't want to think about death. Why? People that I found that don't want to think about death is because they're not secure in who they are and what they are in Jesus Christ. And they need to work through that. You will never say, I wish I had been on my job more. I wish I had checked Twitter 3 times a day instead of 2x a day. I guarantee each of you is going to go, did I accomplish what God asked me to do? Am I ready to stand before Him and give Him an account for my every word and my every deed? I wish I'd spent more time with my spouse or my kids or invested more time in quality relationships. But the devil will rob you in this culture. Just, I'm telling you, I've been in 24 countries of this world. The devil is robbing this culture in the name of technology and instant connection. I love it. This week, I've communicated with somebody in India and did it by audio and through WhatsApp. I communicated with somebody in Kenya just this week, and not counting ministers in this country. So I love doing that. But that's, you see what I'm talking about? And so we use it for the gospel, but don't let it consume you and keep you from resting. And the thing that won't keep you from resting is the thing that God wants us to work through so that we'll be men and women of peace. 2 years ago, I was at a Morningstar conference, and one of the Morningstar elders came up to me and said, Craig, you are a person of peace, and you carry it wherever you go. And I immediately thought, that is a faith statement because you haven't been in my house recently. But I'll take it as a faith, and that'll be my goal. You know, prophecy is calling those things that are not as though they are. And so I'm trying to work on that. But how many of you would, nothing upset you because you spent so much time in His presence resting? Don't let the devil tell you that is a waste of time, because that is a tactic of the devil. You look through the Scriptures, Jesus was always pulling away from people. Every morning, because that was the most valuable. Don't let the lie of a busy schedule. Let me tell you, we're all busy. There's nothing wrong in busy, but when we're overwhelmed and just always, like this person up here that's timed out, or gone off, you are walking in your own flesh instead of the Lord's. I guarantee you Jesus was busy, but He had a balance of 1/7 of His life was restful, and that gave Him the energy to do what He was supposed to do, not what other people was telling Him to do, and He brought life into it. You can only give out what you have. And each of you is a well. And so many times my well, when you put the bucket down, it goes, because all this is sand. The water's done gone. I started, a couple years ago, when I get home, how many of you men know or women know, whoever you go to work, you get home, it's not always easy sometimes when you come home. You know what I'm talking about? So the last 10 minutes before I get home, I turn the radio off, I turn the internet off, and start trying to switch my mindset and start trying to rest. That's one of those little things, try to rest. But God wants to take you places, but He's not going to compete with other voices. Those that go places that produce things are ones that have stopped other things. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for every person here. And I pray that today there will be something in our spirit that will just, that You will prick. If this applies to us, some people have victory over this. There's always, it's not an all thing. But that, Lord, that thing that wants us to keep always going, why? Show us why. What is it that's the root? Why are we scared to be quiet? Why are we scared to be in Your presence? Let us deal with those things instead of regretting it on our deathbed and in finding out when we get to heaven. Let us judge ourselves now and get victory over this so that our soul is on the path to rest. Father, I know personally I've dealt with a workaholic spirit, a performance spirit, and the busier I am, the more valuable I feel, and it's just a lie. Father, why do we do this? Go deep this week in us, and let us be men and women of peace. And it's peace because we're with the Prince of Peace, and we've dealt with those things that keep stirring us up. And Father, I repent of where I've numbed my soul by being so busy with this or that or reacting or just sit down and Father, I say no more numbing. Workaholism is just as bad for numbing my restlessness as it is being an alcoholic. It's not as bad on my body, but it's just as bad on my soul. Make us into people of peace, Father, that hear Your voice clearly and carry it out. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As usual,